Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. Welcome again to the Apostle Floyd Blog Talk Radio Show. It usually happens on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm just grateful to be able to come into your homes, your cars, wherever you may be tonight, and hopefully give you insight, inspiration, encouragement, and motivation to go through this time that we are in. Again, my name is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I'm just excited tonight to be with you and want to share some things with you tonight that I think are crucial, that I think are important in this hour. But before we get started, if you could, let's just have a word of prayer. If you could, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God, for yet another day. 7 days have passed, Father, and your people are still, O God, in the midst, and you still have your hand upon us, Father. Some of us have lost friends and loved ones, O God, because of the virus, Father, and some, O God, people are hospitalized and some people at home with the virus. Father, we know right now, God, that you are a deliverer, you are a healer, and Father, by your stripes, we were healed. And so, Lord, we just thank you this very day of all the things you've done before we even get to this day, this hour, this very minute. We appreciate you, Lord, because you kept us in mind, Father. You have kept us alive. And even when the present economy across the land, across the world, had been shut down almost to a screeching halt, you are still providing for us. We bless you, O God. Father, be with us tonight, Father, as we speak, O God. We're looking to hear from you, Father, just from you. And God, speak through your servant that they, the people that I have given ear to tonight, will be able to draw from it, O God, and be encouraged. In Jesus' name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. I am explicitly excited, like always, to be able to talk to the people of God and those that are ready and willing to engage. The presence of the Lord is on me right now for this very minute, this very hour, and the things that he has given me to talk about. And I don't want to waste time. If you receive any type of communication from me today, you know, I hope it read something to the sense of prepare to celebrate. Prepare to celebrate. Now, that may sound crazy because our eyes are linked on the television constantly. We've seen the infected rate for the whole world reach 1 million. In a population of over 6 billion. We here in the United States have suffered over 5,000 lives to be lost to a virus, and hundreds of thousands of those are being diagnosed as having the virus, and many are being committed to the hospital. And we all are looking for a specific word from the Lord, I tell you, I told someone this the other day, we don't have to ask God for a word because he's speaking. He's definitely talking in this hour. And if we have ears to hear, then we can hear what the Lord is saying in this very moment. You know, I said this last week, I don't believe what's going on for referendum on the United States, because it's happening everywhere. So where we may have seen more of an impact because it's getting close to home, it's all across the Southeast, that seems to be a narrative going on that there's no hope in sight. I beg to differ, because we have a reason to celebrate. And so I want to go over some things with you from a historical perspective, So you will gather exactly what I mean when it's time to celebrate. Last week we talked about don't forget the feast. And so we are still there discussing the feast. And we haven't gotten to the first feast, and that's the feast of the Passover. For you all that want to know, the actual Passover feast that day will be on the Jewish calendar is April the 10th. And they actually celebrate the Passover for a number of days, starting on the 8th and goes on through the 12th. And so people here in the United States are going to look at Resurrection Sunday or Easter or whatever day you want to call it. And that's the day that they're going to celebrate. In all actuality, the day that Christ risen wasn't on a Sunday. It was on a Saturday, and that was a different name for it. The whole essence of Passover was recognized in the book of Exodus. And it really had something to do with, if you read it last week when we went over it, how God was drawing a difference between Israel and Egypt. And so, but the way that he drew a difference, I want to correlate that with what we're going through right now, and it's going to lead us up to the 13th chapter in the book of Exodus, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 when I go through this piece here. Here are the children of Israel, and the book of Exodus represents the exit of the children of Israel out of bondage through the wilderness into the promised land, right? Out of bondage in the wilderness to the promised land. And so the essence of this and where I want people to grab a hold of is that bondage means that you are tied to or you are bound to something physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. That's bondage. When it controls your thought process and it is doing damage to you or to your future. Let me say that again. So bondage, right? Bondage. That is when you are tied to physically, emotionally or physically, some may say mentally, to something that is destructive of you or your future, and I'm going to add to that your destiny. If there is something that has been promised to you, and in receiving that promise of the one that has declared that something is good is going to happen in your life or to you, and you know that you're looking for it, but you are experiencing something that has you tied down physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Right? We're getting ready to celebrate now. We're getting ready to celebrate. And so the Exodus is a method by which biblically Moses writes the manner by which God wanted to free his own people because they were physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually locked down. Whew, well, that's a lot to say in that short time period. And so because of this, now, God raises up Moses. We know the story. He's kicked out of Pharaoh's house. He leaves. He goes to the desert, goes to find himself with Jethro, goes up onto the mountain, and he talks to God. And that's throughout that process, right? But even while Moses is gone, the people are still physically, emotionally, mentally, and physically or spiritually locked down. They're slaves. And their mindset has been that of slavery. But that mindset and the position that they were in did not line up with the promise now that God had made them through Abraham. That didn't line up. And so in order for them to partake in the promise that God made Abraham, he had to raise up somebody and send that person to help with the exodus or the exit of the children of Israel. So I'll grab a hold of that now. Because just because God wants you free don't mean the exodus or the process is going to be that easy. I want y'all to hear me now. Majority of us are in a bondage situation because we've done something that God never told us to do. And we, even when God was telling us not to do it, we went to do it anyway because that's what we wanted to do. If you ever in your life, you wanted something so bad that no one was going to tell you you couldn't have it. Even when someone was expressing to you that you should not do this. This is something that you should not engage in. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm a part of that club. And because this is what I want, I'm going to have it. Nobody going to tell me what to do. I want what I want, and I'm going to get it. And so when we get it, because God never stops us from crossing over into that area that we should. He warns us. But he never stopped us. And we get into this place in relationships, in a job, in a ministry, or in a city, in a marriage that we should never have been in, and it becomes the worst decision that we've ever made. The worst decision. And so God uses that situation. He uses that situation as the opportunity to prepare us to get us out. Because we got ourselves in it. And because we got ourselves in it, it's going to take God to get us out. Now, that's critical now. That's critical in how we see that. It's critical in how we think about it. It's critical in what we're doing and how we see it, right? It's very critical. And so the crucial point in this is that God wants us out, but it's not going to come that easy. One reason is because the thing that has us bound don't want to let us go. God, I want y'all to hear this. The thing that has us bound don't want to let you go. Because it has benefited from you being in bondage. I want y'all to hear me now. The thing that has you bound is not going to easily let you go. I hope y'all get ready to celebrate now. So it's critical now. It's crucial. Because there are some things that Moses has to come back and do to not fight for us, but begin to show the people God is getting ready to bring you out. If we could, before I read Exodus chapter 13, 1 through 5, I want to go through this now because look at how the power of God shows up. First thing that God does in conflict with Pharaoh is that he takes, when Pharaoh refuses to liberate
or to let the children of Israel go. When the world has a tie on what we do as people of God, when they are controlling and bringing in another standard other than what God has laid out, they are holding on to you because you benefit them. God, I hope y'all hear me tonight. God, I just hope you hear me. You are connected with some folk or some people that are benefiting from your bondage. They are tied and linked to how you cannot go forward, how you will not be lifted up, how you will not recover, because if you, for one chance, look up and see for 1 minute that God wants you free from that, they lose something. So one of the first things that happens is there's a posturing from Pharaoh. And God turns the water to blood. Now, notice now, as he does this, I want y'all to grab a hold of this now, because not only does this affect the Egyptians, because all the lakes, the waters, everything turns to blood. Fish die, no food from the waters. This affects the children of Israel as well. So this got to be a difficult time for them. They can't water crops. They can't feed the livestock. They don't have nothing to drink for weeks at a time. And in life as they knew it has just now changed for the Egyptians and the children of Israel, only because Pharaoh won't let God's people go. The next thing that happens after that, and I want you to imagine this now, because the children of Israel don't know when the first plague is going to end and have no idea what the second plague is. But the second plague, for all the scholars, were the frogs. This came to Egypt, And Aaron had stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs swarmed forth, just came out. Aaron stretched out, receiving those instructions that Moses told God. He gives it to Aaron, and Aaron does it. And so those frogs covered every inch of the land. Wherever you would touch, you found that there were slimy bodies of frogs and croaking, and they filled the air. You know, it may have frightened Pharaoh, but he still wouldn't let go. The next one now was bugs. And God ordered Aaron to strike the dust of the earth with his staff. And no sooner than he did do so, then all over Egypt, bugs crawled forth in the dust covering the land. Man and beast suffered untold misery from this terrible plague. And so only God knows when he's getting ready to change what he's using to let Pharaoh know, you got to release my folks. The next one real quick were wild animals, was the fourth plague. And the fifth one was pestilence. And the sixth one now, and now this is not affecting the children of Israel no more. The sixth one were boils. If anybody ever had a boil on your body, those things are painful. And so they were stuck all on the Egyptian people. And they were in agony and in pain. And so you got to understand now, they were willing to go through this, and Pharaoh did not care how much it affected his people. he refused to let God's people go. Now, I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. Because of this now, you have to hear this. Life has changed for the Egyptians. It's not the same. The seventh plague, hail, you know, a hailstorm, unprecedented hailstorm, violence swept the land. No living thing, no tree, no herb could escape the fury of unhurt. Safety was to be found only in the shelter of houses. Y'all hear that? They can only find shelter in houses. And so they were afraid to leave their homes. Even the cattle was driven inside, the livestock they had, and things of that nature. And so in order not to lose anything and to survive, they had to pull all their livestock in, living inside with the animals. Hell caused a lot of destruction. And so, you know, Pharaoh now acknowledges in this point that he had sinned. And Moses was pushing and saying, you know, in so many words, when will we leave the city? Moses let him know, I can spread my hands and this will stop. Pharaoh was not going to let go. I want y'all to hear me now. Even when God is setting this up, doesn't mean that the enemy wants to let you go. The next plague was locusts come to eat up the crop. That was the eighth plague. The ninth plague was darkness. Several days out of Egypt was enveloped in thick, impenetrable veil of darkness, which extinguished all light candles. Could not see walking in the dark. Egyptians were ripped with fear. Listen to that now. Because they couldn't change the thing that God had brought on them because Pharaoh would not let his people go. Now, and we're about to go and read Exodus 13, 1 through 5. What's critical here is that as long as the enemy's pride and joy hasn't been touched, he has no intentions on letting you go. There has to be something that the enemy holds more dear been holding on to you. Now, we all know what the 10th plague is, and this takes us to the Feast of the Passover. So the 10th plague is God is dealing with Moses and Aaron. He tells Moses, he said, Pharaoh's going to speak the next plague out of his mouth. I don't harden his heart. He's going to talk the next one out. It's coming out of his mouth. He's going to speak it. He's going to tell you what is going to happen as if he's doing this unto us. He's actually going to do this to himself. And in Pharaoh's mind, he thought that he was smarter than God. And no doubt now, there are some children of Israel that are watching and experiencing this and wanting Moses to stop because they're thinking that the more you aggravate this man, the worse it's going to be on us. But here is the 10th plague. And so this calls for a celebration. This here calls for a celebration. And the reason why we celebrate is because of what it represents in this time. because the death of the firstborn becomes the plague. And so, you have to understand this now, that the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh says now the death of every firstborn, he poured like he's sitting out a curse or something. You know, the death of every firstborn of the children of Israel will die. Mandate, set it out, spoke it out of his own mouth. That's crazy, isn't it? Who in God's name would think to say something like that unless they didn't fear God? You think about this now. Just because one, the leader, had no fear of God, none whatsoever. I would even think that somewhere in this conversation, as people are suffering, that some of people in Pharaoh's circle were telling him, "Listen, man, you're not gonna win going up against the God of Mo. You can't. So how about letting them go?" And arrogance and pride would not allow Pharaoh to even speak or utter the words, "Let him go." It wouldn't happen with him. And so because of that now, God gives the children of Israel instructions. He gives the children of Israel instructions. He didn't give instructions to the Egyptians. Y'all going to hear me continue to say that, because we want the world to follow God, and God is trying to get us to follow him. And which brings us to, you know, the fact that they followed the instructions of God, and after they followed the instructions of God, the death angel came in, and for those that follow the instructions had taken a lamb, a bullock, or turtle dove, and they took the inward parts and they burned them, and they cooked the meat of these animals, these domesticated animals, and they ate it, and they shared it with their neighbors. But they took the blood and they put it over the threshold of their home. So when death came through that night, it would not take the firstborn. It would not kill the future. It would not destroy their destiny. It did not have a hand or a hold on the very thing of the promise that God had given the children of Israel. But the enemy now is losing their destiny, what they considered their future. So this is where we get to in the 13th chapter in the book of Exodus, and reading verse number 1-5. This is where we should begin and prepare for the celebration. And it says, "And God, and then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for thy strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the month of Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, and which swear unto their fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month." This is where I get prepared to celebrate. Because here, the firstborn represents your destiny. It represents the promise that was made before we as a people, not individual now, a promise that was made to we as a people that we could partake in because God's word was more important than what Pharaoh was trying to do. The promise that he made now has now been exemplified in a manner by which a people have to exist in order for the promise to take place. If there's no children with Israel, if there's no people that love God, then there is no promise. Now, let's look at this, because the difficulty is that in the middle of being let go, probably, I don't know how many were just troubled and didn't think they were going to make it. Look at all the things they had to go through from the beginning to the end, the 10 plagues, all the things they had to witness from the bugs, the water being turned to blood, the pestilence and the night, the frogs, the wild beasts, all the things they had to endure, you know, and the locusts. And so all these things they had to endure, not knowing if there would be another one or will this end or will something else come after this, you know, and could be emotionally, physically drained from the whole experience. I believe the thing that held them on was the fact they heard that there was a promise. The thing that kept them motivated was the thing that they understood that God was going to deliver them. I know I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't know who I'm talking to. We like to take the promises of God individually, and we don't like to look at how God made them to a children of Israel, a group that was called out, was selected by him, that disobeyed him and found themselves in bondage. Remember now, they did something that God warned them not to do. Do not cross over the Jordan and do not mix with the Egyptians. And because they did not hear or did not want to obey God, they left and did their own thing anyway. Isn't it crazy that one mistake by a group of people can affect a generation to come? One person disobeying God can affect the children in his lineage or in her womb. You know, and I want to read this again to you because, you know, what's greatly misunderstood here is the thing that God has intended, what he's going to do, what he has already spoken, how he's going to do, and why he would do it. I want you to hear this now, and so I'm going to go back and read this again now, Exodus 13. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opened the womb, whatsoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both man and the beast is mine. So not only is God giving us a reason to celebrate because of the promise that, but you know, notice now the womb, the thing that is going to birth the promise, you know, the thing that is going to nurture the promise before it is born. I want the people that are listening to me to prepare to celebrate, because see, what we may be experiencing is not as powerful as the delivering power of God. I just want you to grab a hold of that now. I want to encourage you at this very moment, because if you are still alive, you are connected to the destiny, the future of the chosen people of God. And if you are in that particular group of folks, it is time to to really, if you're in your own home and or if you're with your parents or wherever you may be, it's time to prepare for a celebration, because there's deliverance now that is happening amongst you, and you may not even know it. May not even be aware of it. There's deliverance right there. I want to continue to read this now. And this is verse number 3, and it said, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Dear hearts, I want y'all to grab a hold of that now. I want you to look around you. Look at the circumstances. Look at the situation. And in order for you to really grab a hold of that, that means that God has delivered a word to someone that has been in his presence. And he's instructed that individual, or those individuals, whoever they may be, to come out not talking about what's going on around them, but instructing them to remember this day now. Don't forget this day. Remember this day when God stepped down in the midst of your situation. The very thing that you were concerned about, that had you locked down, that had you in bondage, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Remember this day now, that he delivered you out of the hands of the enemy. Don't you forget this day. You should have marked this day down in your calendar. I want you to gravitate and really look at how he did. I want you to understand why he did. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from the place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten, which means that they used to use yeast to make the bread rise, which represented how God would do something that no one else could do, and it had to be by his hand. So when God delivers you, you'll recognize that it wasn't nobody else but God and the power that he had delivered in order to make that happen. Don't forget what month this is. Don't let this slide by your memory. Remember this now. Keep this etched in your memory. Don't let this lose you, because you've seen God now deliver. You've seen God not just deliver one, but millions. You've seen him not let millions die. You've seen him do this. Don't let this month etch from your memory. Why? Very important that we understand why. It shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and to the Hittites and the Amorites, to the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that shall keep, y'all hear this, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. The promise. He's delivering us because we've been so tied to the world's economic system that we have not understood his. We've been so tied to how the world thinks and how the world sees church and ministry, and we've forgotten what God said it is. if we are looking for the ecclesia, you cannot find the ecclesia with your natural eyes. The ecclesia is a group of called out by God, august body of believers that are not in bondage to a building or a place. They are spiritually joined together to where one could be in one city and 1,000 can be in another city. And it's not the gathering in the building that we're looking for, because our lives are not in danger. But it's the mere fact that spiritually we can begin to call upon the name of the Lord and he will manifest his power. Don't forget this now. Don't forget this. We have been controlled. We have marched to the beat of a drum that sounds like God, that may be impressively to where things look like God. We've tried to include things in the kingdom of God that we have no control over, because even Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. We are not kingdom builders. We can only be welcomed in by the hand of God. We've confused our younger generation to believe things that naturally were not true. We think because we gather up in a building that this is serving God. Ministry is how you serve God through the people that he sent you to. It is not how you stand and usher folks into a building. It is not how you collect an offering. Preaching and teaching is roughly 2-3% of what ministry really is. The real ministry is what Jesus did. And he gave us a blueprint of it, because the only time he came into the temple was because it was tradition and he went in there to read. But when he went in, and this one time that he went into the temple, he revealed something to them that was written in the book of Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel. As he read that, and is recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he tells them after he reads it that this day has, this that has been written is fulfilled in your ears. They get angry. They usher him out and want to throw him over a cliff. But Jesus disappears because they didn't have that authority to do that. But everywhere you saw Jesus was in the marketplace. So now God delivers you from something that had you bound, that thought you could not make it. And what we may be experiencing in this present time will make you feel like you've never seen this before. Every time, do you think, when you read this, do you think the children of Israel or the Egyptians ever saw water turn to blood? You think they ever saw frogs, slimy frogs, bugs, pestilence, locusts, wild animals? You think they ever saw any of those things? Those are probably the first time they've seen something in that manner. Darkness covered where they can't even light a candle. Hail falling, boils on their bodies. This is something that they never saw before, they never experienced before in their life. They never, never. And this is probably something that you've never experienced before, being locked down, told to stay in your home, just so you can stay alive, but not get sick. Never thought that we would see this in our day and time. Not on this side of the United States, on this side of the world. Never thought we'd see something like this. But as it comes, are we prepared? Are we really seeking God? That's just a question. And if we are, how are we seeking God? In the book of Revelation, it tells us that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. That's how it's written, how it's translated, is to the ecclesia. Not to the building, but to the people that has an ear to hear. I believe God is talking to some people, and you're just not sure of what God is saying to you. Don't think you got to wait on the word. I think the Lord is speaking to you. And if he delivered his own people out of bondage, the question to ask us now, what is he trying to deliver us from? If we were completely honest right now, it's not a referendum again upon the United States. I don't believe that because it's happening all over the world. What is he trying to deliver his children from that they may partake in a promise that he made them? What is he trying to release us from? If we were real honest with ourselves, what have we linked ourselves to that he told us not to? As believers, not concerned about what the world does. Not concerned about that. There's no time to sit back and talk about, you know, homosexuality or abortions or anything of that nature. I'm not worried about what the world does. I'm not worried about the individuals that think that they're doing the will of God, standing on the street corner with a sign, John 3:16. The world don't understand that. The only Bible that they're going to see is from your character. The only Bible they're going to see is from your character. I'm curious. I often tell people to step back for a minute when they're in the midst of something and stand above it. Look down on it. Be honest with yourself. As much as we say things don't happen, they do. And if we had the opportunity right now as a people of God, we pay more attention to listening and fighting what the world wants to do than we have hearing from God. We've been more engaged in stopping something, more engaged in protesting something. As if your protest or you trying to stop something is affecting the kingdom of God. Satan can't even enter. They can come into present day church. The devils can walk in there all day long, but they can't enter into the kingdom. He's been kicked out of that. So why are we interested in making sure the world has a place in the kingdom of God? Unless God send you to them, they're not going to hear you. But when he sends you, he's looking to pull somebody out. Because there's a land now flowing with milk and honey, translated to be all that you need and all that you want. In this pandemic of things that are happening around us, we've forgotten about the homeless. And in some cases, some people are working with them or whatnot. And we forgot about the fatherless. And we are looking at so many other different things because really self-preservation has kicked in like it did with the Egyptians. Self-preservation has kicked in. Have you forgotten the very thing that God has asked of you to do? Sooner or later, what has you in bondage, gotta let you go. And when it does, it ain't gonna let you go easy. God is making a difference and separating his people from the world. Said, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the love of the Father is not him. That's interesting. The more I engage this topic here, the more I see that if we are looking at what's wrong, God is trying to pull us out so he can show us where he's trying to send us. He made his people a promise, and he's trying to pull us together that we can go into that promise as a people. Don't forget this day. I want you all to begin to prepare for a celebration. The feast of the Lord are here. They are here. Don't forget them. The feast of the Passover is coming up. The preparation for the Passover is right here, right now. Right here, right now. Meaning your deliverance. The fight that God is going to put up to set you free is happening right now. The battle that's going on spiritually for your life is going on right now. And God has never lost. Never has he lost. So, dear hearts, I hope I've said something to encourage you to prepare to celebrate. There's a celebration going on. I need you to join in with it. I need you to begin to act like now you're getting ready to be delivered. So if you can, pray with me as we get ready to close and say some final words after we pray. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this hour. I am so appreciative of the things that you're showing, that you're doing. And Lord, you've already defeated death, sickness, and disease. Already pulled us out of bondage. Spiritually, some of us are still in a bountiful fight. Emotionally, mentally, and physically, some of us are still there. But you're fighting for us. The enemy doesn't realize he picked the fight the wrong one. So, Lord, I speak to everyone that has their ears open tonight and that their spirits are willing, Father, that they look at the things around them that they've depended on, that they've had to work through, that's been a struggle with, and that they will hear you tell them to forgive and let it go so you can pull them out. I bless you, O God. From all the people that are listening, Father, be it from California, O God, to Alaska, God, you've shown me that there are folks in London, people in Ireland, Father, people in Switzerland that are listening to this. God, for the folks in Honolulu, God, ones in South America that are pulling this particular broadcast and letting me know that you're blessing them. Father, my prayer is that you continue to show them that there is no boundaries in the body of Christ. I bless you, Lord Jesus. Keep your servants safe. Speak to our hearts that we'll know we have heard directly from you. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you again for allowing me to come into your private space, wherever that may be, whether you're driving at home in the living room or the bedroom, maybe sitting on a porch, wherever you are. I speak the good wishes of the Lord over your life concerning your family, your future, your destiny, your vision, and the promise. Definitely your health and your welfare. I bless you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you again for allowing me to just ask you, prepare to celebrate. Remember this day. This is the day God made you a promise that he was bringing you out. God bless you now. Until next Thursday, you all be safe.